Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to my broadcast, Prophetic Atmosphere. I thank God for all of you that you have taken time out of your schedule to join me on tonight. Once again, as we go before the Master, amen, before delving into His Word and hearing what thus saith the Lord for us, His people, the church. I pray, amen, that every time that you join me here on this broadcast, that God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you. I pray that God is bringing you into your kingdom assignment. Amen. I pray that the Word of God is getting down on the inside and that your life is changing for the better, that you realize that you're living this life to live again. Amen. And it's not just for you, but it's for somebody else. It is for others to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to hear, to call upon His name so that they too may be saved and that they too can also fulfill their assignment in the earth. You do know, amen, that the whole purpose of us being anointed, amen, is to minister, to show His good works, amen, to minister to people and to show people Christ, not our house, not our cars, not how wealthy we are, not how connected we may be, not how big a bank account is, amen, not how large our church is and that we know everybody and everybody knows us, not that we travel all over the world, and not even the fact that we have sons and daughters galore, as well as maybe, you know, someone having a helicopter in their possession. It's really not about all of that. It is about showing the world Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead, and knowing, amen, that the life that I live is not just for me, but it is to call others to Him so that He can call them back to Himself and reconcile them unto Him. Amen. That's really what it's about. Nothing else really truly matters. I know we've heard many messages about a whole lot of things, amen, and some of those things are very true because that's another facet of who God is, and yet a lot of that other stuff is man-made, not drawing us to Christ at all, but believing and having people think that God is a Santa Claus or a sugar daddy or one that is a weak father who, you know, will fill everything and anything at their beck and being at their beck and call, their butler, their maid, whatever the case may be. Some of us have a twisted mindset of who God really and truly is. We have a twist, and we only pray because we really think that we have that type of in with the Master, that whenever I speak, you know, don't nothing happen until I open up my mouth and pray unto heaven and watch things move. Listen, baby. Listen, nobody And I mean nobody has that type of pull with God. There are people that are close. Amen. They sacrifice their lives. They purify themselves, and but they recognize that the more that they think they know about him, the more that they realize they don't know about him. Amen. And I put myself in that number, that the more that I know and that I get closer to him, the more that I realize that there's more to know about him. And I will never, and you shouldn't either, allow yourself to get so comfortable in your relationship with him, amen, that we forget who he really is to us, and that he's a just God, a sovereign God, that he's a God that knows all and has our life already predestined for us if we follow the plan that he has mapped out for us, amen. And in that plan, we do have an expected end and a hope, amen, of that we shall see his face when it's all said and done, that the whole purpose of living here on this earth and in this life is to see him again, to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And not only are we entering into his joy, amen, but that we are bringing people with us, that people will testify, take courage, amen, be of good cheer, amen. Know that your living is not in vain. Stay the path, stay the course, trust in him. Amen. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about how everybody else is looking and how they're living and what they got and how they got it. You just make sure, amen, that you stay in his face. You stay trusting that the path that he has chosen for you is fulfilled when it's all said and done. Amen. Glory to God. I wanted to encourage you. That's actually not the message that I'm speaking on tonight, but I just wanted to just encourage you out there, women of God, men of God, that God will, amen, whatever he's promised you, whatever he's spoken to you, whether it's in the dream, the word itself, whether he sent it to or through the true men and women of God, amen, whether he's spoken it or how you know how our God uses all types of ways and methods to use. However, God, and you know that the Holy Spirit spoke it to you, you get this one thing in your soul, and that is this. God will do it. I'm going to say that again. God will do it. Yes, he will. He will do it. I just want to encourage you. I don't care. The valley may be deep. The road may be extremely long. The mountain may be very high. Amen. But you got to know, glory to him, that God will do whatever he's promised you to do. He will do it. Amen. And he wants to do it for you. Glory to God. But before I get into the word on this evening, amen, and that is the topic on tonight, God will do it. I just want us to keep in mind concerning our announcements every Tuesday, 7 p.m., Kingdom Lifestyles. Every Thursday, 7 p.m., Prophetic Atmosphere. Every Saturday morning, 9:30, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and Sunday at 8:30 again. You can meet us here live, www.cttkr.org. For those of you who are not in the Brevard County area, especially the Cocoa area, amen, meet us on our website. Go to our media tab page, click there, and you'll see us live right here, live praise and worship. Experience the Master right wherever you are. Experience the presence of God right wherever you are. Amen. And hear a dynamic word from either my husband or myself. Amen. On those days. Also want to let you know, please contact us. Go to the contact us page for any information about us directly. Someone to touch and agree with you in prayer. And for those of you who have reached out to us for prayer, we are praying for you. We are praying that God will do what you ask of him to do. We're touching and agreeing with you, believing, amen, that God is working it out for you on your behalf. We just ask that you would at least, if you can, send us not only your prayer requests, but send us your prayers, your praise reports as well. Let us know how God is working it out, amen, that we can, amen, encourage you and continue to pray for you, amen. Or if he has answered one thing but you need something else prayed for, let us know that too so we know how to direct our prayers on your behalf, amen. Glory to God, amen. And also want you to know, for the events that are coming up, please join me for my Women's Conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference right here, October 16th through the 19th. Amen. We have powerful women, men of God that are coming forth to begin to minister the word. I'm looking for a time in him. I'm looking for him to show. Amen. And I'm looking for him, expecting him to change people's lives, signs, wonders, miracles, deliverances, healings, amen, restoration. I'm looking for people to come, the backslider to come back. I'm looking for souls to be saved. Amen. That is October 16th through the 19th, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. This year's theme, a call back to holiness. Amen. I don't know about you, but holiness is still a standard, amen, in this thing called Christendom. Can't get around it. I don't care what people tell you. You cannot get around it. The Bible itself says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Can't get around that word. No matter how we want to erase it out, it's still in there. It's etched in heaven. Amen. We must live a holy, righteous lifestyle. We must come out and be separated from among them. We must be different from the world. Hallelujah. Yes, God, help us all. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. But those are the announcements for this evening. We do have a singles conference coming up in November, as well as our youth conference coming up January, amen, the end of January to February, Joshua Generation Warriors Conference. And mine, we will be broadcasting, amen, all of those events. So, you know, keep abreast of what is going on. Check out our website, once again, www.dtkr.org, amen. And we also have Facebook pages, too, so hit us up there as well. You can locate me under Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, or Women of Prophetic Destiny. We want to hear from you and how God is blessing your life with this ministry, or just blessing your life in general. Let us hear from you and what God is doing on your behalf. I thank you, amen, for joining me to hear the announcements for this evening. Glory. Now, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Amen. Very familiar passage. Just something that the Lord has dropped in my spirit concerning us. God is concerned about you, people of God. He is concerned about you. Amen. He is concerned not only about you spiritually, but he's concerned about every aspect of your life. And he wants you to know, as I said at the opening, that he will do what he said he would do. Whatever he's promised you, he will do. However, there is a prerequisite. Amen? There is a prerequisite to this for him before he does what he says he's going to do. Amen. And you just got to be able to get your mind wrapped around what process, amen, of what God is doing. And once you get yourself wrapped around the process, amen, of what God is doing, then it becomes easier, amen, to be able to go through this thing called life and to be able to deal with the tests and trials that we all must face. Amen. Glory to God. But before I begin that, let us prepare our mind and our hearts for prayer. And then immediately following prayer, we'll get into this word. Let's look to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. We thank you. Hallelujah. We bless you. We glorify you, God. We magnify your holy name in this place. Hallelujah. Father, your name is mighty. Your name is worthy. You are so righteous. You are so magnificent. You are worthy of my praise, God. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this moment, this season, this hour that you have me in, and not only me, but the people of God that are under the sound of my voice. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless your holy name because you are God, and besides you, there is no other God. And for that, we say thank you. Father, even now, glory to God, as we, your people, come, we come with our hands uplifted as a sign of surrender unto you. Our hearts, ooh, bow down before you in a sign of surrender to your will and to your way. Help us, God. Hallelujah. Glory. Help us, Father, once again to say yes. Yes to whatever you're doing within us. Yes to that challenge. Yes to that circumstance. Yes, God, to that test, that trial. However you are working out our lives, help us to say yes once again. Help us to take our hands off and trust you with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, knowing that you will lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, do it now. Comfort those who are struggling, God. Begin to bring peace into their minds, into their hearts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do it, Jesus. Strengthen who? Strengthen hearts and minds on tonight, Father. Oh, God, someone got the bad news. Someone's husband said enough and walked out, left the wife and the kids and left them with nothing. God, they don't know what they're going to do. They're struggling. They got their hands in their up on their head crying deep sorrow. So we ask you now, God, to bring comfort to that mother. Bring comfort to those children. In the mighty name of Jesus, those that are suffering with sickness, God, we ask that you would bring healing to their bodies right now. Raise them up off the sick bed. In the name of Jesus, God, even for those who you are using this situation to bring glory unto yourself, God, we ask that you would bring a peace that will surpass all upon understanding upon them, God, that will guard their hearts and their minds, and they will be settled knowing that your hand is in the midst of the situation. God, we thank you. Oh, thank you, God, even now for those mothers who are praying for wayward children, those mothers who are praying for children that are already in prison. God, we bless and magnify. We ask now that you would begin to arrest the hearts and the minds of those sons and daughters in Jesus' name, that you would begin to pull at their hearts, God, and begin to minister the true gospel of Jesus Christ with signs, wonders following, prick their hearts, God, that they will open up their mouths and say, what must I do to be saved? Break the yoke. Ooh, glory. Break the yoke, God. Break the stiff neck. Break the stubbornness, God. Break all the anger and the disappointment and the abandonment, God. Break the walls down in Jesus' name that keeps people from coming in. God, break the walls down. Tear them down in their minds and in their hearts. That they let forgiveness begin to flow out of them in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you today. We glorify you today. We worship your name today. Now, Father, I ask that you would begin to anoint these lips of clay once again. Wash me. Wash your people. Forgive us for all of our sins, every sin of iniquity and unrighteousness that is before you. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Wash us in the word of God. Father, we repent before you and ask that you would turn our hearts once again back to you. Hallelujah. Father, even now, as you anoint these lips of clay, I decrease and I ask that you would increase through me. Move me out the way, God. I gladly move out the way so that your will can be done on tonight. Holy Spirit, begin to minister through me. Say and speak what you need to say and speak. Move how you want to move. Just do and meet the needs of your people, God. Thank you. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory. Thank you. All right, people of God, turn with me once again to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. I'm going to be reading, thank you, Lord, from the 10th verse on this evening and reading down to the 14th verse. If you have your word with me, please read along. Coming out of the King James, the New King James Version, it reads as such. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will, somebody say I will, visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the doing, and the hearing of his word. Amen. Here we have Jeremiah, amen, prophesying over the children of Israel as they're going into captivity. Amen. Previous chapters prior, we have the false prophets raising up, talking about we will not go. Surely this is going to be, you know, that God is surely not going to turn us over into captivity. Surely this is going to be a time of celebration, and, you know, this is going to be a time that we will, you know, be on top of the world. There will be no persecution, if you would like to say that. And we heard of this false prophecy coming from Hananiah. If you look in the book, same book in chapter 28, and Hananiah is going on and saying, oh, surely it will not happen. And surely, you know, the Lord truly has sent me, and I, you know, he will and he shall. And even as you look into verse 10 of chapter 28, you have Hananiah, the prophet, taking the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and breaking it, and then prophesying to the people and saying, thus saith the Lord, amen, that he will break the yoke, that God wants to break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of the nation within the space of 2 years. So in 2 years, they were saying this press that you are under shall be lit. What the prophet Jeremiah was speaking, he basically was counteracting that with the lie, with the false hope. And I'm coming to say this. God, before God blesses you, he will test you. Help me, Holy Ghost, right now. Help me right now. Before God brings you into that blessing, he's going to bring you into that test. Now, for those of us who have a fear of test, maybe you have been one in school that didn't do well when it came to testing. You had test anxiety. You had a lot of fears, and you knew the work. You understood the lessons, but when that test came, you just fell apart, couldn't remember anything, couldn't put two sentences together, couldn't put two molecules together. You just couldn't make it work, and your test would go down, but you knew the work. So that word, when I said that word test, may have already put some fear in your heart. So I'm canceling that word, and I want to put this word in the place of it, the process. Before God ultimately brings you into your promise, he is going to bring you through your process. And we all, children of God, have to be processed. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. You can. I don't care how often, I don't care how many times that people come, lay hands on you, slather oil on you, slap you down, you done rolled under the bench, you done rolled on top of people's feet, you done shouted all over the church, you done laid on the altar, you know, they done had to throw 15 towels over you, you got up, rolled over some more. I don't care how often you go through something, those scenes, there's some things in life that can't nobody pray off you. It is just something that God has to take you through because God is getting the glory. God is birthing something out of you, and it cannot happen overnight. It is something that has to be incubated, and it's something that you have to go through into maturation. And then when you come out on it, on the other side of it, you know that it was nothing but the Lord. And when you come out of whatever you're going through, when it's truly of God, you don't come out broken, but you come out better. You may come out bruised, amen, but you don't come out destroyed. God never takes you through a process to destroy you. He takes you through a process, amen, to cause you to be better, to cause you to be built up in him, to when he looks at you, he sees his image in you. He smells his scent up on you. Amen. You become a fragrance unto him. For some of us, when we hear that word test, we hear that word trial, we hear that word challenge, we fight everything within our being, and we fight everybody around us and every situation around us to keep us from going into that process. And for some of us, for those of us who are in the process, we've become bitter instead of better. We've allowed the enemy to come, do his dirt. We've allowed people to become and do their dirt. And instead of seeking God even the more, instead of allowing the situations to drive you into God's face, we've allowed the enemy to whisper in our ear that God has forgotten about us, that God has allowed this stuff to happen because you thought you was just going to speak it and it was going to turn like poof, like magic. It was all going to go away, and it didn't go away. Instead, maybe the process even became harder. The doors slammed and locked, the doors slammed a little harder. The walls seemed to be coming in all around you. And you're like, but where is God? I'm speaking the word. I'm doing this, and I'm showing up at church every time the doors open, and yet things are still happening around me. But one thing you got to know, child of God, that he said he will be with us always, even until the end of the age. Ah, you can't get discouraged right now. You can't allow yourself to get angry and bitter and disgruntled with God and the process that he has taken you through. Amen. Because ultimately, all it comes down to is that the enemy wants to stop you from getting to your destiny. And he will do whatever he has to do. He will use whoever he has to use to keep you, amen, from going through the process. Now, here it is that Jeremiah prophesied and told the people that you will go into captivity. It is going to happen. And yet we have another prophet that comes, breaks the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck, says in 2 years we'll come out. Nebuchadnezzar will no longer bother us. Amen. And that we'll never leave this land. We'll always stay here. It will not happen. And yet, as the word came forth out of Hananiah's mouth, the word of the Lord came to the true prophet and basically told Hananiah, you've broken the yokes of wood, but now you're going to make yokes of iron. And then basically told him, I put the yoke of iron on the neck of the nation. That they may serve Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, God said, at this point in time, I have chosen Nebuchadnezzar to rule every nation that is around here. And they will serve him until I say so. And in the meantime, Hananiah, while you just spoke a lie to the people and said, I told you so, you are going to go in, you will no longer see, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. Verse 16, this year thou shalt die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. Verse 17 says it very clear. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Listen, God is raising up his people. He's raising up his apostles. It's true. I'm not talking about these ones that just put a title on their name because it's, I'm not talking about those who threw a title on their name because they wanted some recognition. I'm talking about those who have gone through the process, gone through the challenges, the circumstances, gone through dark places, found out who God is, know his voice for themselves, do not care what other people are thinking or even saying about them, and can stand up in the midst of the storm and begin to speak what God says. Even if everybody else is saying go right, the man or the woman of God will say, God is saying go left. And God is getting ready to put the fear of him back into the people. Amen? When I say fear, I'm not talking about the fear that the enemy uses to make us afraid, amen, of even of living. I'm talking about the awe, because the reverence of who God is. Because as the years have gone by, the church has lost a fear and a reverence for who God is. It was a point in time, amen, that when men and women of God began to speak forth a thing and said, God said, it was what God said. And it happened immediately, almost as the words were coming up out of their mouth. You would begin to see the manifestation of what God said. And God is actually bringing back up on people the judgment. The Bible talks about the judgment starts in the house of God first. He is going to make his cleanse. It's not by happenstance that we are seeing people leave up off this earth. Some, because it's their time, they have served, they have fulfilled their time, what God has called them to do, and it's time to say, come home, you've done well, it's time to meet me, come on. And there's others, amen, that God is removing because they have let the stench of wickedness long enough. They have let people astray long enough. Now, and because they have done this, amen, all he's doing is removing the candlesticks and making room for his true men and women of God. I know you don't want to hear this because you thought I was going to talk about it's your time, it's your season. God will do it. I'm still on that subject. He is going to do it. But I'm telling you, you got to go through the process before he does it. God has already spoken to you, to each and every one of us, and has told us specifically what he wants to do in our lives. And if you notice, when it was truly a word from the Lord, it was not so much of what he wanted to personally lift you up and have people glorify you, but the words that have came to you have always been about ministering or doing something for somebody else to bring him glory. See, we've gotten it twisted over the years because somewhere somebody made us believe that this thing was really about us. Somebody somewhere orchestrated that lie to make us believe that being saved and being a Christian should be nothing but a life of ease. Amen. You should have no setbacks at all. You should always be on top of your game. You should have everything and everybody at your fingertips. The world is at your fingertips. But as you can see, people of God, there are men of God that are purposely removing their own candlesticks, taking their own lives because they have taken on, amen, a mantle that really did not belong to them, or they have taken on a mantle that at one time they walked very closely with God, but they've allowed life, they've allowed the enemy, they've allowed narcissism, they've allowed the cares of the world, they've allowed different things to enter into their hearts to take the place of who God should be, who God was in their life. And then when you look at them, no longer is God their idol. They have other things that are their idol. And you know this because when something is removed from them, you see people just trip all of a sudden. They don't even know why they're tripping. They're just going crazy. And it's always about a thing, my image, my pride is in the way. And so we have people, men of God, that are removing their lives. They're going into deep depression. They're taking, and I'm not knocking depression at all. Hear me and hear me well. Depression is definitely a disease. I do believe that. But I also believe that for some it is a spirit, amen, that the enemy brings up on his people, because, and he hits them from every angle. You can't seem to breathe because if this happens, then something else happens. As soon as you get over this, then something else happens. And the enemy tries to convince you that you're by yourself. He tries to isolate you. He tries to make you think that you're doing it all on your own, that nobody cares, nobody loves you. You just need to let it all go, because now you just want to sit in a room, close the windows and the shades. You don't want to be around anybody. Listen, knowing it is a spirit from the pit of hell. Yes, there are situations, I do believe, amen. Again, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I definitely believe there are some people, amen, that need the pill. They need the couch. They need some extra psychological help. Do not be ashamed. But while you're, and they love the Lord, while you're praying, while you're waiting on the healing for him to manifest, take your pill. While you're waiting, while you're praying, while you're having faith, take the medicine. Do what you got to do to stay whole. Because, listen, enemy job is to wear you out and wear you down. It says it in the Bible. His job is to wear the saints out. And if you look around us, people of God, we have seen some worn out saints. And they're so worn out and overwhelmed and tired. We got to be mindful of the spirit of the python who comes, amen, to wear us out, to choke the very life, the spiritual life out of us, where you feel tired, where you're always feeling fatigued, where you're always feeling overwhelmed. You lost your joy. You lost your peace. You lost the willingness to pray and worship God. You don't do all of none of that anymore. You're coming to church, but you're going through the motions. And a real move of God comes and you're so dry. You're just so dry spiritually that you can't even recognize the water when it arrives. We got to understand. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. We got to really get a spirit of discernment in this season like never before. And begin to find out what is God really saying, even for those of us who are all up on social media. Everybody that's running their mouth and talking about thus saith the Lord is not really thus saith the Lord. Everybody that's sitting over here talking about trying to give words of encouragement and inspiration and da-da-da-da, a lot of these people, it is not the word of God. You got to know him for yourself. It's another spirit that's operating through people. And if you can't rightly discern and see for yourself, you will be caught up and led astray. Prophetess doesn't want that for you. I want you to know who you are and whose you are. You got to recognize in this hour who you are and who you belong to. Then nothing can shake you, nothing can shift you. People's opinion don't matter, because you know you're a child of the King. Now, after saying all that, child of the King, do know this. Yes, God has given you a word for the nation. Yes, God has given you a word for the people. Yes, God has made you some promises. Yes, God has called you to do some things in this life. But do know this, is that all that God has called you to do, he's ultimately going to get the glory of it. But you got to go through the process. You got to go through a process of preparation. He told the children of Israel, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Now, I'm over here talking about process, but I really want us to understand what it means. That word process in the dictionary says a continuous action or a series of changes taking place in a definite manner. The action of going forward or moving on. The course or lapse of time. The course or lapse of time. So, and what are you saying, prophetess? I'm saying that God is bringing you through a process, but the word process is a lapse of time. As you continue seeking them and praying them, every time you go through your tests, your trials, you're calling upon the Lord, the process is causing you to dig deeper. It's causing you to find out who God is. It's causing you to be pressed into his presence. At the same time, the process is also showing who your flesh really is. It's showing you you're not as pretty as you think you are. You're not as warm as you think you are. You're not as kind as you thought you were. You're not as loving as you thought you were. There's some issues. There's some circumstances. There's some weights that you may have in your life, and you won't know about those weights until you are faced with a situation, amen, that puts your back up against the wall that will call you to see who you really are. See, many of us got these rose-colored glasses on because we think he's so wonderful and kind and beautiful. But God knows who you really are. And he uses challenges. He uses the trials. He uses the tests so that you can see who you are and realize that you need a God every day to help you make it. But one of the things you have to know, he said that when the 70 years are completed, in other words, there's no way around it. We all have to go through something. We all have to be processed. The process is a continual, it's a continuum. It's constant, amen? Some are more, yes, there's periods of rest. There will be periods of rest. You're not going to be going from, you're not going to be constantly always fighting. But do know this, there will be periods of rest. But in the meantime, as I just said, it's a course or a lapse of time. This isn't something that's going to take 5 minutes, maybe 10 days or 2 weeks or some things that God takes us through. It takes years of us because we have to be sandpapered down like a diamond in the rough. We got to, because in order for a diamond to shine, in order for a diamond to be formed, it has to be crushed under extreme pressure. I'm going to say that one again. Some of us, God has called us to be diamonds, sapphires, rubies. And we're being placed under extreme pressure because God knows who he's made us to be. Remember, he said he predestinated us before the foundations of the world. So by the time you came into this world, he's already orchestrated your life for you. He already knew. He already said you were going to be this, you're going to do that, you're going to take that turn, you're going to go that route, you're going to be over here, you're going to do this, and ultimately, as you end up, this is where I want you. So while we were already in the spirit, in him, when we were already in him before we were birthed, he already had our lives mapped out. He chose us before the beginning. So now that we have came on the earth, amen, we were born in the earth, then we're actually living going through the process to become who he has already called us to be. Now, where many of us get tripped up is that the process causes us to be broken. The process causes us to have cracks and crevices to be exposed, and we don't like that. So we'll work and do everything that we can so that nobody will know, amen, that we have brokenness and broken places. But how else will you know a God like you know God unless you're in a broken place? I'm going to let that just sit for just a second. There were some things that God has took me through personally. Apostle can say it himself. There's some things that God took him through personally. That he would have not known God the way that he knows God now unless he has gone through that process or allowed God to take him through that process. Then nobody said the process was going to feel good. The process doesn't feel good. That's why we fight it. We don't like pain. We don't like discomfort. Amen. Just give it to me now. But there's no way God's going to give it to you and you can't handle what he gives you. There's no way that he's going to give it to you and then you get there and make a mockery of what he's given you. He's got enough of that going on now in the earth. He's given people things. He's given people ideas. He's given people organizations, mantles, things to bring him glory. And what has happened is that people have allowed their flesh to rise. They've allowed it's become a stink inside of his nostrils, and instead of drawing people towards him, they're drawing people towards them. And now God is like, enough is enough. I'm not getting the glory out of this no more. I need to go on and remove them and raise up another. You do know God will raise up someone else, right? You do know he always has a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D. See, I think some of us believe out there that God can't do it without us. Can't nobody do it like us. Let me tell you something. There's somebody that is sitting in the back, in the corner. There's somebody under the bridge, as they would say. There's somebody on your job. There's somebody that don't even know who God is that can do it better than you, sing the song better than you, preach it better than you, prophesy greater than you, see revelation deeper than you. And will do it better than you the first time around, what took you 10 years to get to. Never think that God needs you. Never think that God does not have a backup plan because you decide you don't want to show up. He will remove you. And in fact, if you've been looking around lately, God has been removing people, the just as well as the unjust. Removing them. He said, listen, the thoughts I have toward you, he already knows what he's going to do with our lives. He already knows that he has thoughts of peace and not of evil towards us. He already knows that his whole reason for creating you, creating me, is to give us a future and a hope. But you're going to go through. You must go through the process. Don't run from the challenges. Don't run from the trials. Don't run from the tests. Don't run. Because God is going to do it. He's just preparing you. He's preparing you while you're in the background so that when you show up, when he decides to shine the light on you, when the spotlight shines on you, that you will bring him glory, that you won't become a mockery, amen, to what he has called you to do. The Message Bible says this, as soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before. In other words, whatever test he has you in, however long it takes, it does have an end. But don't try to wiggle your way out. Don't try to bargain your way out. Don't try to cry your way out. Not going to work. You have to go through this process. But do know it has an end. I know it hurts. I know some of us have been in it a long time. But you have to honestly admit to yourself, as God has brought you through to victory, glory to glory, you know him greater, you know him better, you love him a little more, you trust him more than you did when you first started this road out, when you started on this road. You could see him a little better, you feel his presence a lot more, you feel lighter, things that used to bother you don't bother you no more because you have allowed him to process you. I said it before when I read out the dictionary, process is a lapse of time, a course, a series. You just can't stop in the middle of it. You got to keep moving forward. You got to keep driving forward. You can't let it shift you. You can't let it shake you. You can't let the enemy take you off course, and you can't let the enemy use people around you to take you off course. I don't care who they are. You got to know what God has spoken unto you. In fact, get those words that God has spoken to you before. Dust them off. Open up those books. Open up. Find those little pieces of paper you wrote his words down. Find the words of God in the Bible that he's spoken to you. Begin to rehearse over and speak over yourself. Encourage yourself. Remind yourself what God has said about you. As you do that, I guarantee strength will come. I guarantee life will come back. I guarantee the drive, the pursuit will begin to come back. But you got to know what he said about you. And you got to know what he meant when he said it. He said it again. I'm going to read this again in the message. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, I want to read it. I want to take a little prayer. I want to make it personal. As soon as, put your name there. As soon as Prophetess Crystal's 70 years are up, or as soon as my years are up, as soon as my test is up. Maybe you don't want to put test, as soon as my trial is up. He said, I'll show, and not a day before. So there's an expiration date. This is what you need to take courage in. There's an expiration date to that challenge. There's an expiration date to that test. There's an expiration date to that trial. There's an expiration date to that trouble. There is an expiration date to this. You're not going to go through forever. You're not going to cry forever. You're not going to be in pain forever. There is an expiration date. As soon as they're up and out a day before, then God says, listen, I'm going to show up. For some of you, he's already spoken to you. He's already told you that this is true. You've been hearing, you've heard the messages before. You heard the prophetic words before. This year is your year. You've been hearing it, but you really haven't. And you're like, yeah, you shouted over it, but you really haven't felt it. But it's something now. You feel a change because now God has visited you and said, you know what? This time it's for real. This time I'm going to show up for you. It is your turn. I remember I would hear the messages of, you know, this is your year, this is your season. I'd be jumping and shouting. I was going through it all. But then I just kept on. But then I realized that that really wasn't my season. It really wasn't my time. There were still some things I had to work on. But then one day, kept trusting, kept believing, kept pushing, kept praying, kept fasting, kept on doing a little bit, kept praying, kept pushing, kept striving. And then one day, God visited me and said, in my dream, he said, this year, I'm going to bring you out of everything by the end of this year. And it stuck with me. And I knew when I woke up that this was, this right here, my expiration date has come. My expiration date to the test, to the trial. And I'm seeing, little bit by little bit, you got to be able to praise God even in the small victories. And little bit, we're seeing things go. We're seeing things come together. But knowing at the end of this year, he said, I'm bringing you out of all of it. And some of you can testify to the same thing I just said. And by the end of this year, he's really, truly bringing you out of all of it. There's some of you that can really say, yeah, I know that. He spoke that to me too. I know that. It wasn't spoken to you by somebody else. That you know God came and visited your bedside. He talked to you, called your name, and spoke it into your life. He said, I will show up and take care of you as I promised. And bring you back. And bring you back home. Bring you back to your original state. Bring you back to the bring you back to what I truly called you to do. Called you for, predestinated you for. I'm bringing you back. I know what I'm doing. He knows what he's doing, people of God. He said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Remember I told you in the beginning of the of this sermon, this broadcast, that God has already mapped our lives out before us. But we have to truly trust him to do so. It's still ultimately up to us. Because I know somebody out there is like, well, no matter what, I'm going to get there. You ain't going to automatically get there if you don't do what needs to be done, if you don't allow him to process you, if you don't obey him, if you don't complete what he told you to do. No, you're not getting there. It's not going to happen. Now, well, God sent his word, and he said his word will not return to him void. That is true. It will not return to him void. But you just may not be the one delivering it. He may will find somebody else, maybe your children, maybe your wife, maybe your son, your daughter, maybe somebody, a complete stranger, will be able to perform the word, because God will make sure that his word is manifested in the earth. Now, you were the first choice. But if you don't do what you need to do, if you don't let him take you through, if you don't trust him, if you don't allow him to remove some of those weights and some of those sins and some of those mindsets that we have, that we keep ruling over what God has said and what God has done and what God means and how he's doing things, then we will be left behind. He said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. God never abandoned you. That's why you're still here. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now and bless you. God, help us to trust you even more. Help us to take this word on the inside of us and hold on to it until we begin to see the promise that you have spoken over our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you right now for those who will hear this message around the world, God, and that you will begin to move mightily in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please bow your heads while I pray, Father, and say this in your with me. I'm a sinner. I confess my sins. Come into my heart. Live in me. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. Right here, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries is praying for you that you will be spiritually led to a real Bible-believing church that's going to mature you, love you, raise you up in the Word of God and in the things of God. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and I want you to join me again next Thursday, 7 p.m., for another broadcast of Amen. Join us this coming Saturday at 9:30 a.m. for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Sunday, Amen, at 8:30 a.m. for our live services right here, www.ctkr.org. Amen. I love each and every one of you. Be blessed in the Lord and have a wonderful evening. Good night.